This weekend, I'm going to be at the San Jose Improv in San Jose, California, July 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. That's the San Jose Improv in San Jose, California. You know where you are. You love it up there. That's close to wine country, baby. That's close to San Francisco. That's south of Portland, Oregon. That's south of Seattle. That's right in the heart of the SJ, baby. SJ. Maybe get an HJ and SJ. Who knows, man? Come to my show. Have some laughs with a stranger. Have that building some fun. July 5th through the 8th, San Jose Improv. And then July 21st and 22nd, I'm going to be at Wise Guys Comedy Club in Salt Lake City, Utah. Oh, boy. Love it out there. Home of John Stockton, Carl Malone, and other Utah greats. Wise Guys Comedy Club, July 21st and 22nd. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams will be at the Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio, July 12th through the 15th. Tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. That's July 12th through the 15th at the Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio. Brad and I are going to be doing the Live About Last Night podcast in Montreal at the Comedy Festival. Live About Last Night podcast, July 26th at noon. Information at justforlaughs.com. Come see us, Montreal. Are you out there? Come. It's going to be great. All right? Today's episode, oh boy, what a special guest. You know her from the show Glow on Netflix, and you know her from American Idol. She's a killer comic and just a delight to be around. And she's crushing it on Glow. Season 2, which just dropped last Friday on Netflix, starring her, it's Jackie Tone, oh baby, making her ALN debut. And what a debut. We got songs, we got American Idol audition stories, we got growing up in New York stories, we got starting comedy in L.A. stories, we got some insight into auditioning for Glow and the women's wrestling world. It's a fucking great episode. Follow Jackie on Instagram and Twitter at Jackie Tone, T-O-H-N, JackieTone.com for tour dates and all her information. Of course, Glow Season 2 on Netflix right now. Follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter. Brad Williams Comic on Instagram at Funny Brad on Twitter. AdamRayComedy.com for my tour dates. BradWilliamsComedy.com for Brad's tour dates. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all your merch, sweats, beanies, shirts. Go get it. Bring it to the show. We love taking pictures and signing stuff, so go get that. Makes a great gift for anybody. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or get it on the Laughable app, Spotify, Stitcher, and now TuneIn, which is awesome. So many great episodes behind us to still go back and listen to. Jeff Garland, Pete Holmes, of course, Sandra Bullock. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, fucking what are you doing? She's never done a podcast until now, so go listen to it. Bill Burr, Gabriel Iglesias coming up. Can't wait for those ones, so stay subscribed. And comment on the iTunes page. Give us a 5-star rating. And email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with how you got into the pod, where you get it, why you love it, your favorite moments, and we'll read those on some upcoming eps and have a chance to get some free merch. All right, now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny Jackie Tone.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. It's About Last Night.
How many people do, because I feel like as comedians and actors, and also just knowing you in the brief time I've known you, you seem super perceptive and like observational and like can just pick up. And again, this is a comic and I think actor trait where you just like can sense more things and can read people, right? So how many people have you met in, I actually want to know the comedy world and then like acting world, where you've been like, oh man, you're just like, you're you overthink, you're in your head so much, you're analyzing everything, you're just like, the business is too maybe crazy for you, but you're still powering through.
Okay, now are you asking that about me? Like, do I experience that, or
no,
in my perceptions?
Your perceptions,
I
yeah.
I see people doing that
because I see you. Like, you're just again, yeah. You seem like just you take in everything around
That's
you.
It's exhausting.
Is that the Jew in you? By the way, that's a new game show I'm
is
trying
that
to pitch
the Jew in you?
To True TV.
That's right.
And True, if you're listening, is that the Jew in you? And you find out people's.
Yeah, and then at the very end, Gilbert Gottfried pops out of an orifice somewhere in your body and just goes, "I'm here," and that's it.
I am the Jew in you. Remember the movie Innerspace where yes. Martin Short got put
Wasn't
into
it
Dennis
Quaid? Oh, it was Martin
yeah.
Short. I felt like, why do I feel like Dennis Quaid?
Oh, no, you're right. Dennis Quaid
yeah.
was, yeah, you're right.
Because I remember my whole childhood being like, oh my God, mini Dennis Quaid could like be anywhere. And I was so excited by it.
That's adorable.
That's what my parents thought about me.
I just want to, oh,
he could be anywhere.
They named him Dennis Quaid so they could call their son mini Dennis Quaid.
I just want to tell you guys that I know you both personally, and yeah. you both have like cool speaking voices, like in life.
Oh hell yeah!
You both sound sexy as fuck on this PCast
oh,
right now.
Damn.
Well,
like, I don't know if you're doing different voices or.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Wow. Okay, Brad.
This is how we sound.
Wow, it feels
all
slightly.
The time.
Okay,
no,
it feels
that's
okay.
Me.
I don't
that's
know.
Me, girl. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
back to the comedy.
Yeah, I'm
shit.
Probably wrong. I'm probably wrong.
I can't do this. See, that was like a sexy voice. I can't see. Mine is just dad voice.
Mine's
like, get off that lawn.
Which is sexy. Some people call the phone sex operator and they go, can you talk like a dad?
Yours is just louder. Yeah. Can you turn me up in my
yeah.
ears? Never thought I'd ask that.
There you go.
Literally trying to get out of the hell that is my mind. And now I'm asking you to turn me up. That's too loud.
Somewhere right there.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little more. No, that's good. Yeah. You guys yeah. are loud.
And by the way, we are adjusting the volume. It sounded like. Like the worst, probably OBGYN checkup ever.
Well, no, I said, can you turn me down, turn me up on my
head? Like, up right there. It's right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
It's right
yeah.
there. It's right there. Why do you have forceps?
You don't?
What a weird thing to have in your home.
I mean, yeah. Okay, someone pointed this out to me. Not to take this. I mean, it's about to get a little creepy. But Bill Cosby, in the Cosby Show, he would take patients at his house. And he was a gynecologist in the show,
no,
or something like you would take bait.
No,
someone pointed this out.
You might have seen like some sort of edited clip
maybe
where people did the.
You may have, I don't know, watched the news and heard a couple things about Bill
yeah,
Cosby.
That's crazy.
I mean,
although, but he did play a doctor, right? Dr. Huxtable.
He did.
So
he
that
did play a doctor.
Be crazy.
Now,
what was the dialogue? Was he like, okay, so just before I work on your foot, just take these pills and go to bed and take your clothes off? And you're like, but it's just my foot, and you're not even a podiatrist. And then she looks into the camera and goes, we'll be right back.
She does?
Yeah.
That's crazy that
Cosby
she...
Cosby broke the fourth wall
but
a lot.
But interesting that she would choose to break
yeah.
the fourth wall and he wouldn't.
Well, and then they cut back and she's still looking into the camera. She's like, help.
But she's also passed out?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know about this act out.
No, this happened.
I'm trying to find this.
You moved here when from New York?
I moved here in 1999.
Hell.
This, I've been acting since I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
Somebody told me that. That's
yes,
fucking
it's,
crazy.
It's bizarre.
You're so normal.
Wow.
You're so wonderful and normal.
Thank
and you.
I get
I
cases
mean,
of the sads.
We all do. We all do.
I've been acting since I'm 9. I think a big part of the reason I've been able to stay grounded is because nobody fucking hired me. So, do you know
so
what I mean? Like,
so
if
you
I
didn't
was,
have
like,
that
a,
star.
No, I had the huge up and yeah. down, but I didn't have the like thing where I was the star of a TV show for 6 years and then lost that and then had the up and the down and the drugs and the, what happened for me actually was crazy is I was a comic when I was a teenager. So I was like literally writing jokes. Then I got a development deal at Nickelodeon and then we made a show, but it never got picked up.
Called what?
Then I... Actually, it was a spin-off of All That. Remember that kid's
yes,
show?
Yes, I love that
one
show.
One of the greatest shows of all time, All That.
Of course.
what was the big girl's
the
name on that show?
Lori Beth Denberg,
yeah,
like I'll
yeah.
ever forget.
I thought she was like, I don't know, kind of the glue.
She was not only the glue. I just think there's a funny thing where...
Funny always.
Always.
Every time.
I have a thing where like... I have competitions in my head with people that don't know I'm living on this planet, and she's one of them. Well, I was like, well, if Laurie Beth Denberg wasn't on the show, I'd be real for a different Jewish white girl. And I just,
yeah, I do the same thing with Dinklage. He doesn't know I exist, and I'm just like, well, I got a comedy special. Yeah. Suck it, Dinklage. That's like, one thing you haven't done.
Yeah, I do the same with Laura Dern.
I'm just constantly being like, damn it, Dern. Yeah, you got a, you got into another Jurassic Park movie?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
I'm constantly taking my parts.
Oh, you idiot.
Wait,
now. Wait, so when I was a kid, I was doing stand-up. I met at Nickelodeon, and I kept trying out for all that. I kept being up for it. I kept being up for it.
Fuck, you wanted it so bad, or were you
so
a kid
bad.
Just
I mean,
didn't
no,
have
no,
any?
No, no, I wanted it so bad. I had characters. I had stand-up. I had things that I was already doing.
We'll go back to that in a second, because I want to know how you even got characters and stuff as a kid, but keep going.
Okay, I'll tell you everything.
Yeah.
So when I was, like, this was probably I want to say 15. Mm-hmm. And what was crazy is that Amanda Bynes came along, and she was like
America's Amanda Bynes.
That's right. Actually, I'm talking about Canada's Amanda Bynes. Similar.
Amanda Bynes controversy.
Yeah, that's right.
Get
very
that
close.
Get that only here on the About Last Night podcast.
So
more hot Bynes talk.
Bynes talk.
Hot Bynes.
All Bynes all the time. So Amanda Bynes got it. So 1 year, Lori Beth got it. 1 year, this girl, Elisa Reyes, got it. And then 1 year, Amanda Bynes got it. And I just kept going, and they kept being like, okay, so this year, it's like, you don't really have to try out. Like, it's you. And it just kept not being me, and it was devastating.
Holy shit.
And I was
shit.
A teenager, and I was like, writing jokes and
how
writing
sketch.
How do
you take that rejection at that age?
You know, I didn't realize till I got older how much it fucked me up.
Yeah.
Like, when I was a kid, I was like, okay, cool, like, on to the next. It was devastating, and I cried when it happened, but I didn't, like, then spend the rest of the year being sad. I was sort of just like, hey, I'm going to do the next thing. Like, I have this weird internal combustion engine. People ask me all the time, like, since you're 9 and Glow is your first big job, which you got when you were 35, that's how...
What
it's
happened?
It's almost that you didn't... In fact, a good friend of mine... is just weird to say out. Well, now I don't know, feel weird name dropping, but Dax Shepard.
Yeah,
and it
great.
Was he who said, pointed out to me years ago, you know, it's kind of insane. Like, it's mentally unhealthy that you didn't quit.
Like, yeah.
Right?
It's that you just had that much rejection in your life and getting so
like,
close and getting small roles.
That you
and
stuck around.
What like, do you think? And what was your answer?
That's what's crazy. And I've like tried to unpack it, and there sort of is no answer. Now I just feel like an asshole for mentioning Dax. But anyway.
No, you're fine.
No, by the way, drink five if you're playing the when will she mention Dax Shepard drinking game.
No, drink five.
Because it happened 20 minutes in.
Listen, I mean, like, we're totally cool with people name dropping. Dana Carvey told us to be cool with that.
Yeah.
Yes. Well played. No, well phrased.
I
well
just
delivered.
Felt like it, like, for me, it packed more of a punch that it was him.
Yeah.
It wasn't like my friend Sam from elementary school. It was like a dude who I think is funny and brilliant and wonderful, and was like, I was sort of having a conversation with him, like, God, I guess it's pretty weird that I kept doing this. And we started really talking about it, and it was like, what? Why did you?
Yeah.
And the best way I could describe it would be to say that there's an internal combustion engine inside me, which for better or worse, sometimes it makes me absolutely mental. Sometimes it makes me get a lot of shit done. Always it makes me talk and think too quickly. And I just, there was no other option. I have no other skills. I make music, I tell jokes, and I act.
Yeah.
And those are them.
Well, and that's, you saw that as like, no, this is all I can, like, I say all I can do, but yet you just mentioned three amazing things. But there's a story where someone came up to Jerry Seinfeld and Michael Richards as they're having lunch and said, oh my God, Jerry Seinfeld, Michael Richards. And they said, like, I've been thinking about becoming a comedian. Do you have any advice? And Michael Richards looked at him and went, well, you're never going to make it. And the guy said, what are you talking about? He says, because you said, I'm thinking about being a comedian.
Yep.
Because if you're not thinking, you're doing it no matter what someone tells you, no matter what odds are in front of you, no matter what rejections you get, you're still just like, but this is who I am. This is what I have to do. So when you watch an aforementioned American Idol, which we will get to, and you see like some of the horrible singers that they put on in the beginning, you're like, oh, why don't they just quit? It's like, it's not that easy.
No,
if that's your thing,
has that always been your mentality? For
I feel like we have, like, I get mental when I listen to podcasts, and there's like and I feel like I didn't answer any of your questions yet, so I'm panicking a little.
No, this is great.
Okay,
also,
bless,
this
God
is
bless.
The nature of our chat. Like,
no,
we're
know,
good at
like,
going all over the place and getting back.
Do you think we'll get back? Because I feel like I want to finish the Nickelodeon
thing. Yeah,
and
we will. I've already had it in my head being
and
like...
And the other thing that you asked about, like, how did it all start and, like, why was I even doing
it? Yeah, so many questions. Also, We'll make it a two-parter. Also, come back. Like, this isn't the only time. We're all not quitting.
I mean, we have sleeping bags over there. It's fine.
Also, a bed. You guys are going in the sleeping bag.
Yeah. Boy, real quick, when's the last time you've been in a sleeping bag? And were you terrified? Because for me, and I'll open this little conversation, which is why I brought it up unprovoked, I was trapped in a sleeping bag by my sister's friends when I was, I think, 8. And I fucking remember that. And I haven't thought about it in 29 years.
They zipped you over the head?
Yeah.
And oh, just, yeah, you just really stuck in there. Scary.
Yeah.
Ah, see, that sounds awesome.
They were like,
awesome,
we're all going to have it. I was like hanging with her and her friends, and I had a crush on one of her friends. She's, you know, 2 years older. So they're like 9, I'm 7. And they were like, well, let's all like lay down in sleeping bags. And like, I don't know what I thought. Like, maybe I'll roll in the sleeping bag and like we'll dry hump on the sleep. I don't know what I thought was going to happen at 7. Sure. But I thought, like, I like where this is going. Like, get in the bags, whatever. And then they're like, no, everybody go down or whatever. And then they just zipped my shit up and left me in there for. It seemed like 3 days. It was probably 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But as a kid, you know, you take everything up a notch.
And there's no inside zipper and you can't get out. I have to tell you something.
Trapped.
I have a visceral Ryan Reynolds reaction style to that story.
Really?
I don't like that. Yeah.
Just, it, are you a claustrophobic person?
I am.
I got out.
They got you out, right?
Yeah.
Eventually.
They got you out.
My mom eventually
heard it. Yeah. It's going to be a lifetime TV movie.
Keep cleaning.
I am. And when I have an irrational fear, but like if you have an irrational fear of sleeping bags, it's not irrational because that happened. So that already takes away. It is rational.
I probably would still get in one.
Right, but also you wouldn't let someone then zip you over the head.
No, probably. I probably would not do it around friends. Yeah.
Or it sounds like it's your sister. I mean, your friends probably.
Yeah, no, I still have not forgiven her for
aren't
it.
Monsters.
Welcome back to Adam's Got Issues and Adam.
I know how I deal with it. I just buy my niece's scooters. All right, so. which I did. My sister goes, that scooter that your niece found in the woods while we went to this broken scooter and is obsessed with it, but it sucks. But she still is obsessed with it. And I'm like, Nat, part of me wants to let her ride this out, no pun intended, and enjoy the shitness of this scooter and like fall in love with it and be like, man, just appreciate that. And then she's like, yeah, but the handlebars like literally are about to fall off. I was like, all right, here's my debit card number.
get
a new scooter. When's the last time you've been in a sleeping bag?
It was camping not a crazy long time ago. So then, okay. I don't know, like within a year. Mm-hmm. Like I used to camp more. I do it like a little bit less now. Because I was dating a dude who liked to camp.
Weird.
You know what I mean?
Well, and then you become a camper.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to change who I am. I just was like, oh, camping is cool. It's not something like I wouldn't, I was going to say trailblaze. I guess that's right. I wouldn't like be the first person to be like, I have a camping trip planned. But if you have one planned, I'll fuck with you. You know what I mean? I'll go.
Sure.
I was going to ask you something, tell you something. Scooter.
Trapped in a sleeping bag, my nieces.
Oh, all I think I was going to say was that the pun was intended.
If that's not the name of your comedy special, if you were a pun person, are you a pun
not
person?
Not at all. Not at all. No, that's I'm more a story of a dad, Jew. Stepdad. I'm a story girl. Yeah.
A story Jew?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just like, and then look, I'm tired. Now, here's what goes on. My mother, and I'll be talking about my mother. My father talks like my father.
Now you said, now you said when you were very young, you started doing characters. Were you always like that storyteller type?
Yes. When I was a little kid, I was wired to do this from a really young age, and I don't ever remember not wanting to do it. And I was really lucky because my mom's best friend, Aggie Gold of Fresh Faces Agency in Baldwin.
Oh, Adam knows Aggie.
Of course. In Baldwin,
Aggie and I go way back.
Baldwin, Long Island.
Nice.
Aggie was my mom's best friend, and then I wanted to act. And so then they took me to this guy named Michael Blinderman to get rid of my New York accent.
Jew?
Funny. Here's how Michael Blinderman talks.
I've never heard of Blinderman before. I've heard of Rosenbaum. I've heard of Katz.
But Blinderman can't be anything. I mean, what can it be?
No.
Irish fella. So they took me to Michael Blinderman to get rid of my New York accent. Here's how Michael Blinderman talked. If anybody wants a cup of coffee, they can have a cup of coffee. That was how he spoke. Very high-pitched and had the worst New York accent of any person.
And they're trying
ever
to get
heard
you to get rid
That's
of yours?
That's correct. I paid
by
money.
Listening to
I
him?
I paid money to go. By the way, the loveliest man I've ever met.
Of course.
He was like a Mr. Rogers vibe, but like the worst New York accent I've ever
Can
met.
Can you imagine if Mr. Rogers had a New York accent?
Oh, God bless.
Come on, we're going to go check out that fucking trolley.
Yeah, check it out.
Hey, the world of puppets is right over there.
Shove your hand up that puppet's fucking ass. So, Andrew Dice Clay does it.
Hey, look, the fucking mailman's here. Hey, is that paternity
cool
test back at...
23 and me.
Did my ex send me that cashier's check? I don't know, Fred. It's Frank. dick. So you go to this class. And
well, anyway, so I
the
went.
The purpose
I,
is to
get rid of my New York accent.
Why?
It was just a little because, you know, to be a more. I don't know. To not just play New York parts.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to play everything.
Yeah.
You want to be able. And actually, what's really funny, I didn't realize this is maybe sad, maybe staggering. It's a combination. I didn't realize till recently I was a specific hire. Like, I genuinely thought I could be anybody. I could be any of these people.
Oh, you can.
Any of these shows.
Yes.
Oh.
But, like, then I got hired so as myself
yeah.
that I think because of like the sound of my voice and my personality, people see me a certain way. And ultimately, of course, I'd love to break out of that, break past that, do some, you know, Adam Sandler Punch Drunk Love shit. But it's
yeah.
like an interesting thing that like I was always going like, what's the holdup? I'm not specific. I can be anything. And I was like, oh, shit.
Like,
I'm
oh,
the nanny.
Yeah, you're the nanny's kid.
Yeah.
And then you were in the nanny.
Yes.
Yes.
When?
Playing a mini nanny twice.
Playing mini friend?
Yes.
It, the most what? Sobering thing in this business is showing up to a casting call, looking around and seeing 15 yous.
100%.
In a room and,
it was
and going
extra crazy on commercial auditions. Like I
yes.
used to go, I used to show up for commercial auditions, and it was like all girls with dark hair and light eyes that were doing like a Zooey Deschanel thing that all had bangs and were in like cute polka dot dresses. And there was, you know, Alison Horn casting.
I don't.
It's one
but,
of the bigger commercial casting
yeah.
places. But anyway, okay. they had these mirrors on the wall, and
oh,
there was a bench.
Yes, I know that
and
place.
And it would just be like one version of me, a second version of me, and they were those like long strip mirrors. Like
it's the
from,
weirdest thing.
IKEA or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there would just be like seven girls sitting on a bench opposite seven mirrors, all being like very slight variations of each other, and you're
oh
like, how are we even gonna?
How are they going to choose?
Yeah,
yeah it's all, yeah, it's the craziest thing because you think that you're perceived a certain way, and then you walk into that room, you go, oh. This is the box that everyone has put me in.
You know what's interesting? I noticed that when I was doing a lot of commercials, like right before Glow, I started like actually making a living in like the commercial mm-hmm. world, and it was kind of great.
Yeah.
I still obviously wanted to be on TV and wanted to make movies and stuff, but I was like, wait, I'm actually like making a living now. This is like, I can't. This isn't as much of a struggle as it was.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a minute, but I have like trouble getting past that I struggled for 25 years. So I'm still struggling right now, but I'm not struggling.
Did you know you were struggling?
When I was?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yes.
Okay, so it wasn't like a naivete, like you had
no
idea.
No, like I was like, fuck, like I gotta.
So why didn't you quit?
Forever, exactly. I'll tell you why I didn't quit.
Yeah,
I didn't quit because I always had enough of a little. Someone was like,
someone just,
here's a
little,
berry.
A little, right? A little like bit of that carrot.
Right? I'd get a commercial or I'd test for something and I'd be like, well, I'm not in the wrong business.
Right.
I had an agent and I had a manager. Like, I would get an episode of Memphis Beat from that was on TNT for one season. Right? Like, I would get one episode
so
of
So you've
Castle.
Consistently been working. More or less.
More or less. For a long time to make ends meet and also because I wanted to. I did colleges. I did musical comedy and stories and whatever
mm-hmm.
And just straight up music as well. Like that whole NACA situation.
Yeah, yeah.
I did that from 2010 to 2015.
Wow. Yeah.
And I probably, all the
that travel's crazy, huh? Because they group like what 10 colleges in
a
chunk.
You know what's way worse? When they don't group 10 colleges in one chunk and you just fly to North Dakota and fly home.
And then go back to Albany and then come back.
And then go back to Albany 6 days later. Then go to Virginia 4 days later. Like, that's worse than, like, Upper Peninsula, Michigan for 4 days. It's negative 19 degrees and you got to squeeze four shows in. But, like, at least you're going to a place, staying,
there's
checking
some
out
consistency.
What's there and going
yeah.
home.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, oh,
they're
God.
Back, they're back.
And also, it's like, you know, this is not new for a comic to talk about how lonely the road is, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and I think especially as a woman, it's mm-hmm. it's lonely and it's also like the tiniest bit scary.
Yeah.
Like I'm showing up in North Dakota at 10 o'clock at night, staying in a motel because I don't want to spend the small amount of money I'm making on a great hotel.
Right. And you're like, I'm by myself.
I'm by myself.
I'm doing a show where if someone wanted to follow me back,
right.
they could.
It's like it was. There were moments on the road for sure. But anyway, that's how I was making ends meet like during that time. So I was never like. And when I say making ends meet, like, I was already making a living, but I was never, like, you know, doing...
Yeah, you didn't have that, like, you didn't know where your next paycheck was coming from.
No, I had no idea. And if I didn't get a showcase at NACA,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, so but it was like, mostly commercials and the road for a while.
As you're coming up, because you do sing, you do play guitar, you do act, you do comedy. Was there ever a thought in your head like, I should focus on just one of these things?
100%. So it's a nice place to be right now that people look at a multi-hyphenate as an asset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But even now, like, I'm putting out some music, and like my managers and agents, that's not really their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go elsewhere to like handle this other part of who I am. Mm-hmm. So I'm still having to separate the things that I do. I still don't have them under one umbrella. That makes it a little challenging when you're trying to like, I don't know, like I feel cheesy saying certain things, but like, I'm trying to look at myself these days as a business. I'm running a business,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to...
Well, I'm your brand.
I'm that word. But I agree and hear you, and I'm trying to do that.
It's a buzzword, but it's a buzzword because it's true.
I have to like get out of my own way of being like, I'm not a business. I'm not a brand. I'm a fucking person. But it's like, okay, dude, get out of your own way.
Yeah.
Experience the success you're having right now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't still feel like you're struggling. Like, I am... Yeah, there's like a lot, psychologically, there's so much that goes on when you've struggled for 25 years, and then, it's not like now I'm a millionaire, like I have this opportunity on this show that's cool right
now.
Yeah,
but there's so many shows, and there's only a handful that get like, you know, the type of reaction that Glow gets, you know?
It's the fucking coolest, I'm so excited about that.
And the type of show, and the people on the show, and the storylines, I do want to know...
Timeliness?
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I do want to know... When you're a kid, before you even start, so was commercials how you started getting into the business?
Well, I meant recently. Like in my early 30s, I was like starting to do, because I didn't do stand up in my 20s. I was scared of my own shadow in my 20s. So I like dated a lot of dudes that were doing it, and I just was like, I'll be
coming
next
to the shows.
I'll be sort of next to that. Like, or musicians or like rock, you know, that kind of thing. And I was still doing my thing and acting a little and trying to get jobs here and there. Putting out like some random EPs and albums and stuff.
Like serious music or comedy stuff?
Serious
always?
Music.
Whoa. So we have a great voice.
Thank you. So I was I did like stand up and acting and commercials and stuff when I was a little kid to when I was like maybe, I don't know, 19 or 20.
And were they super hammy spots? Like the peanut butter is so good. Or was you serious? Like,
never.
This is where.
Never?
I was never hammy. It was always like.
Taking a sip of the juice.
Yeah, like, or? I had one commercial. It was like a Rice Krispies commercial. I had like a leather jacket on. I was like some tough kid and something. And
you were like Tori from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Oh my God, 100%.
Whoa, great call. Who, by the way, is a triplet. Really?
Oh, right.
Did not know that because one of my buddies in a classic just
Isn't
dude.
She married to
Dustin Hoffman. No.
No, the dude from Scrubs that's not Zach Braff. The
Donald Faison.
Yep.
Really?
I think Tori from...
That's fucking crazy.
Looking this up. Hold on.
But so my buddy, I go, I met Tori today from Saved by the Bell. He goes, wasn't her.
No, you didn't.
He goes, wasn't her. Yeah, and I go, all right, man. How depressed are you to take that away from me right now?
Yeah.
I go, what
How
about
dark
your
is
life?
Your day? I told you I met a recurring character from season 14 of a show from the early 90s.
Just season 14.
Yeah,
this season was what, 17 seasons? She did one of them and was that memorable?
And you can't
she
let me have that?
She fucked Slater.
You can't let
what have
me
you
have
done?
That?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I go, and he goes, she's a triplet. I go, well, yeah, but it's... And then what do you say to that, by the way? I'm like...
Because you don't know that you met her.
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
Sorry.
I know.
Yeah, so... Joy, her name is Leanna Krell.
And she is with him?
I'm trying to...
What's his name again?
I'm trying to find out. Spouse.
Just said his name.
Renat Greenberg?
Well, that's not...
Jew?
He
Who the hell is Renat Greenberg?
Wait, so when you...
Maybe one of the other triplets is...
I don't know.
When you are a... Okay, we just got...
Oh, so when I was a kid, I was doing a little bit of stand-up here and there, but it was more
and
like
the characters.
Showcases.
You said when you were doing characters for all that, like, when were you getting the sort of, like, what were you seeing
was
that
watching,
was making you...
I was obsessed with Gilda Radner.
Yeah.
And...
You're gonna play her in...
I did already.
Right, but in the movie, in, like, a biopic.
No, that would be amazing. Let's write it.
Yeah, you did it in...
You were great in the Lampoon movie.
National Lampoon
but
movie, yeah.
For sure I was just telling Brad, I go, not only do you... So much voice, look, manner, like, and then... Oh, and you're a great actor? Oh, so that helps. Because sometimes you see, you know, pieces or even sports movies where they get somebody and you're like, oh, you just got this person because they look
exactly like
and
them,
there's a
not,
little
right?
voice and they're like, and you kind of taught them to act. But That's a no-brainer. You should write it. Obviously, there probably is one. I mean, why isn't there one?
I have every one of those questions, all of those things. I'll occasionally just text David Wayne that we need to make the Gilda biopic. But also, what's interesting is
that's a great guy to do it.
He did Futile and Stupid. He did the other.
Yep.
But I think that every person that played one of the icons in that movie is like, yo, where's my biopic? You know what I mean?
Nobody wants the Chevy Chase biopic. And I say that.
Except for Joel McHale.
And I say that.
Oh, yeah. So I would love it for
Joel. I don't even think Joel wants it.
This is, and by the way, A Futile and Stupid Gesture, the story of National Lampoon. I need everyone who has Netflix, which is everyone, to watch this because I truly believe it's the best comedy this year. It was so well written. The comedy was so sharp, so well acted.
Michael Colton.
Amazing
yep,
story.
Abound.
And yeah, you're playing the icon that is Gilda Radner.
It's unbelievable. So when
Did
I
you
was
watch a lot of tapes? Or?
Well, here's the thing. So Adam just asked like why I even started writing sketches and doing characters.
As a kid, I'm saying, like, are you in the mirror?
Because of Gilda. I watched Saturday Night Live as a little kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people watch soccer as a little kid and they go, I'm going to be Mia Hamm. Well, I watched Gilda as a little kid and said, I'm going to be Gilda. And I always loved Bette Midler and Joan Rivers. And these women always spoke to me. There was never a time in my life where I didn't want to be like mm-hmm. those women. Mm-hmm. There was never like a right turn I took where like for a while it was like painter and then I was like, wait, funny women. It was always forever.
Right.
This is what I want to do. These are the people I want to be like.
Did you cry when you got the part then?
So much that I actually cried when I got the audition.
Really?
Because I was at a point in my career where I wasn't really, people weren't necessarily
What happened
for
first,
me.
Glow or the movie?
Gilda.
Guilt, really?
Yes, which is what got me Glow. So I'll tell you.
Oh. So,
and then I want to go back to the types of characters you were doing in the mirror when you were a kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's a big deal.
And also sitting at home writing jokes down.
Yeah.
Like I was.
Yeah.
But a friend pointed out to me recently, he's like, how fucked up was your childhood that you were like writing jokes? And I was like, I guess, was it?
No.
Okay.
I memorized Yo Mama jokes so I could say them at recess
Same
to people.
Exact.
Yeah.
I loved Yo Mama. I love Snaps. I loved all that stuff.
Snaps.
I collected joke books.
Yeah.
Truly mm-hmm. Tasteless Jokes. I collected them.
Yeah.
I loved to like shock and freak everybody out
yeah.
in school. And it was like, also I love that it was like a boy thing to do and I was doing it and whatever. But
so great.
So back to tried out. So I get this audition for Gilda
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, and I think as an actor, as actors, we're like, I'm scared, I'm too insecure, and I've been punched in the face so many times in this business. And
oh,
just,
shit,
like,
okay.
Almost had the, oh my yeah. God, yeah, that's true. I've been, my point is like, we've all been beat, it's, look, it's not
emotionally
manual,
taken down
right,
a bit, yeah.
It's not manual labor, but the rejection emotionally takes such a toll. And
sure. No other job has that, does it?
Mm-hmm.
That, this consistently?
No, it's
I mean,
crazy.
I don't know. Once you apply for a job, you get it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get it, you probably have that job for a while.
Correct. This is every single time.
An hour. Oh,
you
yeah.
To do. Right, yeah. Right. Four times a day. Anyway, so the point of that is only to say that I had dealt with, you know, we've all dealt with so much that I'm too scared to see an audition and go, this one is fucking mine. This mm-hmm. one's going to change my life. I'm going to put that out there. I'm going to visualize it. This is mine. I've loved Gilda forever. I look like her. We have the same. We ever just happen to have the same speaking voice. She's from Detroit, so hers is like more in the back of her throat. She's Gilda Radner, mm-hmm. where mine's more like I'm New York and huskier. But she's just that. That's the
tone wise. Yeah.
Yeah. The only difference is that hers is back there.
Okay.
And when I started listening to her again to audition, I was like, oh, this is weird. Why do her characters come out of me so easily? And it was because we're starting in the same place, like vocally, which is insane. So then they said, look, you can try out. You can do some of her characters from SNL if you want, but this movie precedes Gilda on SNL. This is like her days in Second City and her days with like Lampoon and all that.
Yeah.
And National Lampoon Radio Hour and Lemmings and all this live performance, crazy artistic shit they did in the 70s. So they were like, you can try to do some characters if you want, just to like show on top to show the directors that like, you know,
you got range
that you can
to
like
do
the characters, but mm-hmm. you wouldn't need to do them in the movie.
Right, right.
And I was like, okay, but you did need to do other characters from Radio Hour and all that stuff. So I was actually, I rewatched some of her stuff on YouTube, but like I already knew Emily Latella and Rosanna Dana and all of her, Lisa Loepner, mm-hmm. like I knew it all already. Like that sketch, Lisa Liebner, is the one that she does with Bill Murray, where she's like, "Mom," and she's like telling Bill Murray, she's like, "You're a loser," you know, and that whole thing.
Whoa.
So she just, I just tried it, and I was like, "Oh, that's weird. That sounds just like that." And I'm not an impressionist. I mean, I could try, but I never fancied myself one.
You can mimic though.
Yeah, I guess. But I'd always known that like Gilda was the hero, and I already knew all her characters and what they said and what they looked like and their mannerisms and the whole thing. And stupid, Todd. And I just like already did it.
Yeah.
And then I just went in and got to do it for Allison Jones, one of like the most magical casting directors of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read the sides and I brought my guitar because in one of the scenes in the movie that got cut in the Lemmings Live stuff, they wanted the Gilda's playing Joan Baez. So it would be me playing Gilda playing Joan. And I brought a guitar and there were lyrics, but I wrote a song to the lyrics.
So there you go.
And then I had multiple costume changes and I did.
In your audition?
And I did five characters from SNL. And then I left thinking, well, as I was leaving, I thought like, this was either the best thing that I ever did in my whole life.
Yeah.
Or fucking holy hell, this probably looked so embarrassing and try hard. Where I was like, just a second, have to put my 70s dress up. We get that you were in the 70s at that point,
right.
We need the flowing dress for the Joan Baez bit. But then as I was walking out the door, Allison Jones was like, Jackie, don't cut your hair.
And I was there, like, you go.
Okay. I don't know why you'd tell me not to cut my hair if you're not planning on sending this tape to somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then I actually ran into Allison a couple weeks later at a Melissa McCarthy movie that she cast with Kristen, the spy.
Spy.
No, what was the one that Kristen Bell did with?
Oh, The Boss.
The Boss.
Yeah.
So I went with Kristen to that and saw Allison, and it was a couple weeks later, and I hadn't heard anything. And she was like, basically, she was like, "Yeah, this thing is yours. We're still working on it, but don't cut your hair."
Dope.
And I was like, "Okay." And I'd never
felt
so fucking in. I was like, I'm a player in the game.
Yeah.
I'm talking to a casting director at a movie premiere. And it was so exciting. Then I got that movie. We shot it. It was incredible. Most of the people that played the icons, most of that stuff, like Seth Green was Christopher Guest, Joel was Chevy, like a lot of that stuff got... Doug Kinney.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff...
Got cut.
Got cut for the purpose of the story, which was like... I mean, I think
because you're focusing on Lampoon, so it makes sense.
I think it worked.
Yeah.
Also, it's really hard to make, like, mimicking a sketch that was funny in 1977. First of all, if you just put that sketch up right now, it would be hard to make it funny as it is if you just watch it, because comedy is so different.
Yeah.
Our senses of humor, our sensibilities, what we stand for. We don't like big things anymore. It's got to be all subtle and a wink to the camera. And it's all, you know, the Arrested Development comedy which, by the way, I fucking love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not this like, we're two crazy guys. Like,
We
sort of are allergic to that in 2018.
What was the energy around the set? Like with people, was everyone like showing people things and talking about that time to really energize that?
And I remember Seth Green... like wanted to get Christopher Guest's blessing, and he didn't not get it, but I remember he didn't get it.
He's a very private person.
Yeah, like he wasn't able to like reach him and like make that happen. And Joel was telling every Chevy story he could possibly tell, and I was trying to learn as much about Gilda as humanly possible. And Rick Glassman played Harold Ramis and fucking killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Rick and I the other day did a comedy show with Harold Ramis's daughter on a show called Virgin Sacrifice, where they like take a person who's never done stand up and throw him on stage.
Oh, God.
The person was Harold Ramis' daughter, and she did great.
Well, yeah, because you got that much comedy DNA running through you.
Yeah, she
was
like...
royalty.
It was great. It was really cool.
Do the comics then try to help? Or?
No. It's just like, there's other comics on the show, and then
one person.
The Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So people go to the show knowing they might go up?
No, that's planned. Like, the person who... The Virgin is planned.
Already picked them.
Like, the whole thing is planned.
Got
it.
And then after that movie, so does the Glow script come to you? Do they?
It's a funny thing. So like, God, we're in such a crazy business. So Allison Jones was a mentor to this incredible casting director in New York named Jen Houston.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen cast Glow.
Whoa.
And Girls. And
she's a killer.
And Orange is the New Black. And so Allison, when she was trying to get me the Gilded role, sent it to Jen. And I'm not sure like what shenanigans they were up to get me Gilda. I don't know what they had to do or what hoops they had to jump through, because again, no one was looking for me. And monster people, like amazing people, were going out for that, for the Gilda thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then they Allison showed my tape to Jen. So then I got this Glow audition. I had no idea how it happened. I was like, oh my God, this is a dream. It's Jen.
What was happening in your life at this point?
I had just finished shooting the Gilda thing.
Okay.
Then Allison put me in a couple episode arc on The Good Place.
Awesome.
So I was like, get in with Allison Jones. Yep. By the way, I hadn't worked in like 46 years. And now.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, what was the drought up until this?
Oh, time? I don't even.
But you were keeping busy with stand up and songs and writing.
Correct. And commercials.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And voiceovers.
And no day job.
No day job.
Yeah.
So the dream.
So you have time to like fully invest. Because that is, to me, like when I could do that, which took, what, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years to the point of like, all right, cool, I can now have my whole day to dedicate to this and not, you know, when I'd be working at Universal Studios and playing a fake cop or the Wolverine, I'm like, all I want is this 8 hours to be doing what I'm, and I'd be so angry that I wasn't doing it. So to get to that point is great.
Man, Adam, you look relaxed and comfortable.
Oh, I'm comfy as fuck, Brad. I've been a lot more comfy lately ever since I bought me a pair of Bird Dog shorts.
That's right, Bird Dog shorts. They sent you a pair, they sent me a pair, and man, I love these shorts.
Well, look, underwear is quickly becoming a thing of the past. You know what I'm saying? Like, cut out the middleman.
It's like taxi drivers.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Dudes want to be comfy. We live in a free country, especially being comics. We live in a world where we get to exercise free speech. Why not have your dick and balls be free? They deserve a nice, comfy breeze in the middle of the day. And Bird Dog shorts give you that comfort. They've got a nice built-in silky liner to make it to where underwear does not have to be a part of the equation. Why have two pairs of shorts do the job of one? You know what I'm saying?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't. And you can wear these, on the airplane, to the pool, to work out.
Just lounging around. But also,
there's just so much, like, there's so many times in our lives where we're getting, like, just accumulating jock sweat and just getting uncomfortable. And it's like, you want to be as free and comfy at all times.
Absolutely. And you can get that with Bird Dog shorts, man. The second I got these things out of the box, I put them on, I went right to sleep because it felt like my balls were on their own little pillow.
Yeah. And you... That was very descriptive, and I saw an image of your balls going to sleep on a pillow.
And wasn't it adorable?
It was adorable. Look, they dry faster than a bathing suit. You can wear them on dates. Nothing impresses a girl more than gym shorts.
Everyone
obviously
knows that.
It should be a point of pride, letting your manhood be free. And look, in a day and age where there's chaos all around us, comfortability is
that's a word.
It is comfortability.
Is it
I think it's comfortability. Comfortability sounds easier to say and a lot more... Fuck you, Brad. All right. Bird Dog shorts, they're the comfiest shorts on planet Earth. And, and if you want them, all you got to do is go to birddogs.com, enter promo code ALN. And if you do it right now, they'll throw in a free dad hat, which is obviously a cool as fuck hat because dads are cool. Dads are coming back. Dads are becoming cool in style again. And they always know what to put on their heads.
That's what I've always said about dads. And these hats are sick. And so that means when you get a free hat, it's like they're giving you $50.
Yeah.
It's like they're just saying, here's $50. Because these hats, that's how much you would pay for them.
Go to birddogs.com, promo code ALN, and start living your best life. And now, back to the episode.
And that's that point is great, but I noticed that when I have a free day...
Mm-hmm. It's tougher to walk
hard,
in.
It's hard, like, with no schedule and no stability.
Oh, okay.
And
to go around.
It's hard to go. Not that I'm saying I want an 8-hour job playing Wolverine at Universal.
Well, you did, and that's fine. A lot of people did. And the same thing with a lot of people wanting Gilda. A lot of people wanted to be fake Wolverine.
Sure,
so
sure.
We were both dealing with stakes.
Mostly the random unnamed cop you just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
More so than Wolverine.
Yeah, that was the best, though, because nobody knew what I was from, so I'd make up movies all the time to kids.
Oh, my God.
And they bought them because they're stupid.
You could say fucking idiots, you. Me. It's not my fault your brains aren't cooked yet. So Allison, wait, where were we?
Allison, Good Place.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, so then
I was just asking what your life was like before.
Yeah, it was a lot actually. I think starting to really do stand up again, probably let's say
fuel the fire
5 years ago, it made me feel a lot of things. Firstly, I felt like I was like back in, I mean, again, I get embarrassed saying certain things, here we fucking go, it's 2018. I felt like I was standing back in my power instead of being like, someone else can do it. You can do it, boys can do it, and someone else can do it. The guys I date can do it. It's just, I don't know, I feel scared, it's weird. You know what? And I'm a master at convincing myself that the reasons I don't want to do things are reasonable. I don't like it. It's, you know what?
Talk yourself out of it.
Stand-up is negative, Brad. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I go to the comedy store with the with this guy I'm dating, and it's like everyone's like, it's you just say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And
now that I'm doing it, justify you not doing
your own neuroses.
Right.
Like we were at the store what 2 nights ago, and there's like 7 of us hanging out by the fucking ice cube machine, just hanging out for like 2 hours. Like it couldn't really sort of be nicer. But I told myself, I sold myself this bill of goods for so long, and when I got over that hump and was like, I have so many thoughts. I would love to do stand up again. I would love to go back and like start doing musical comedy. That changed everything for me. Because I wasn't so much like, when I go on an audition, I have nothing else. Like, I need this. It was like, I was getting my, like, energy out elsewhere and feeling validated by audiences or people that were coming. And it wasn't, I didn't feel like I was spinning my wheels and nobody was seeing. And that's really challenging. As a performer, you want people to see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And once I got more into stand-up, then I started going on auditions feeling better about myself and not just being so nervous and so, oh God, I'd be grateful for any job. It's like, well, no, cool. Does this fit for me? Do I like this? And
yeah. Well, that and just knowing you have that skill set where you can go on stage and be funny and tell jokes, as long as you can do that, you will work in this business in some way, shape, or form.
It's true.
It's not whereas you could be a great actor or a good actor, and it's still depending on a casting director, a director, so-and-so to say, yes, you. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you're funny and
you're
you can
go up on
stage,
you're not waiting for anybody to go, yes, you. You're just doing your set.
You're just doing
it. You're at the improv. You're at the store. You're just doing your thing.
You're just working.
And that's... you're working. God, what a good way to put it. So you're not waiting for anybody.
So all that was filling enough of your time in your just creative void but still auditioning. So
yeah,
you're
like,
I'm not...
financially, how was I doing it? By like going on the road and mostly doing commercials.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. You know, living in a one-bedroom apartment, and it wasn't, you know, crazy, but
not
it was...
having gold rims.
Yeah, correct.
Are you
not
thinking about,
money on...
before you get a good place in Guild and Glow, were you, was there... I think we all experience this. If you do have a little bit of a drought, there is just a point where you just go, not I'm going to quit, but oh man, how much longer until I get something that I think
what
not only will
be
like a little bit of a game changer,
do?
But like something that is of substance and like validates you being like trying, right? And so it's like you do have those thoughts of like, God, it's going to be a couple months or another 5 years, or like, right?
You have no, the instability is staggering. I mean, it's a very mentally...
Why do we do it?
Oh, I mean, because
it's so dope.
Because it's so dope and we can't do anything.
Yeah, it's the advice I give to young comics, and they say, hey, do you have any, like, I'm just starting. I go, how do I make it? Do you have any advice? I always go, well, if you're comfortable being poor, at least between 2 and the rest of your life, like 2 years and the rest of your life, then you're good.
If you're okay with everything falling apart at some point.
Yes.
Then
you can be in this business.
Questioning your existence.
It's so weird, and we just keep doing it.
And you said there's nothing else we can do. And I love that, but I think it's also we choose to do this.
Yep.
And we, and not that we couldn't like all,
I was just
gonna
say,
be teachers
we,
or
exactly,
fucking Baskin Robbins scoopers, but.
I never learned how. I never started. Like I'm.
You recognize how much greater the ups and downs of this is than something else, too, right?
Yeah, because I'm 100 years in, so it's like this is what I'm doing now. I've made this decision.
Were your parents fully on board?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
So they saw because you were probably super entertaining as a kid. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know because I was me, but it seemed I was well received. But now I'm dealing in therapy that
That's
like my value
answer.
Is wrapped up in.
You go to therapy? Do you love it?
I love it.
I feel
changing
like I'm...
my life.
You know what?
God, it's changing
good.
My life. Well, let me finish this up. My value is... I'm realizing that my value is wrapped up in being entertaining.
Oh,
and
so
if
you're not entertaining,
correct,
you're not feeling like you're...
I don't have value.
Oh.
If I'm just like sitting around...
Wow.
I'm wasting your time.
Whoa.
Isn't that fucked up?
No, that's awesome.
So
hang out.
So it's like, wow, I'm sitting here playing Parcheesi with my aunt. I'm not entertaining people.
It's less so with my aunt because like I know my aunt will love me forever.
Yeah.
It's like in an industry or in a relationship. And my shrink actually pointed out
around
recently,
people that are not in the business.
Yeah, well, my shrink pointed out something really interesting recently that the thing that, let's call it your defense mechanism, right? Like, you gotta be funny. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't feel like you have value unless you're funny. That's your defense mechanism. Her defense mechanism is, helping people. She can't not try and fix. Why are you sitting like that? What are you feeling? What do you think that's about? What do you... Okay.
This is your therapist?
Right. So, but my point is, what is her defense mechanism in her life, which is... So you can't get in, she'll help you, right?
Okay, interesting.
Okay?
Yeah.
My defense mechanism is, so you can't get in, I'll entertain you. You'll never have to go deep with me because I have jokes. You'll
feel
like
we're
laughing. So connected. We're
I feel
laughing.
Like I do that too. Fuck.
We all fucking do it. Yeah. Okay. Wait. So at the end of this,
but also if you're in a boring conversation,
literally though, if you're a comic, you do this. It's a this yeah. is who we are and what we do. Mm-hmm. But so the end of that is to say that I said I feel like my value is wrapped up in this, and she said, you know, something that I would like to point out to you is that if I used my defense mechanism in my relationships, like with my husband. My relationship would fail. If I was sitting here all day trying to fix him, it would fail. And similarly, your defense mechanism is being funny and entertaining and on all the time. And if you did that in a relationship, I could imagine that would be challenging for your significant other.
Oh,
and that
absolutely.
Would probably fail.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, record scratch. Record scratch.
So now you have to realize that in order to have a significant relationship with someone, and not necessarily romantic, but just a significant relationship, you have to not entertain them.
Correct. That's correct. Now look, can we do bits? Can we be funny?
Sure,
of
sure, sure.
But can
just,
you?
I feel like you got a good balance.
Can you peel the? Yeah,
we're doing it on this.
I'm working on
yeah.
it. Well, I'm working on it. It's all new. Mm-hmm. It's all new, and it's blowing my mind. It's like cracked my fucking brain open to this, like, again, this like higher level of being able to consider myself. When before I was
and
just
not
like,
think that
but
if you're not
fucking problem. I was just trying to have fun, and it's
right.
like,
yeah.
okay, well, not everyone wants that all the time. Relax.
Yeah. Take it. Everyone sometimes wants to meet you at a 4 and build mm-hmm. to a 7.
Right, right, right. Well,
only
7.
Okay. So, Brett, yeah. no, you know what I mean. Like,
of
I was
course,
just, yeah, take it up a couple notches.
Mm-hmm.
And now, do
and
you?
And I always, sorry, I enter yeah. every. I enter every situation.
You do?
I've ever entered.
Yeah, I was gonna say socially. Yeah. If we're like a wine mixer,
I'm trying.
Do you go group to group, circle to circle, popping
of
in,
course,
being like, hey,
I'm trying to
somebody's
be not enter at a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because. But
unless
I mean,
you feel
I
that
enter,
circle at a 10, right?
Yeah, but that's what I'm learning too. Like, read the room.
Well, reading the room is key.
I've lost acting jobs because I was like, I've come into like either table reads or something. Like, I've come into stuff way too hot, and it was like, oh Jesus.
Yeah.
And I've heard of actually other female stand-ups. People have told me stories like, oh yeah, she came in and she acted like she ran the place,
mm-hmm.
and they were gonna have her back. And after how she acted, they're not gonna.
Yep.
And it's like, oh whoa.
Yeah.
So like you think you're acting confident, but you're really like,
yeah,
when, probably just an insecure.
And that was Laura Dern, and that was
and
the one
crazy.
Part that I beat her out for because she came in thinking she was hot shit, and
well, so, I
heard
I mean,
that
she was gonna play. She was gonna play the villain in the Heat.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
well,
so
Brad,
I was like, let me bring it down to a 2.
Well, actually, a lot of people don't know that it was actually he didn't beat her out. They replaced her with him. Yeah.
Well,
she
yeah,
actually
yeah,
did. She actually just can I say she actually did get the part first.
Yeah.
So I really quick, he actually didn't get the part. So
now, because you're. Certainly in season one of GLOW, your
I
villain.
Love GLOW, Ray.
You're a villain. You're a villain.
I'm a villain.
You're a mean person.
I'm not a nice person.
Is that cool? Is that fun to be? Is that to read the script and go, oh, I'm kind of a bitch.
It's pretty great. I thought like I would have maybe more problems with it. Like I maybe more be like, oh God, are people gonna like me or not?
Yeah.
And I just was like, oh, this is cool and fun, and it's a character I play on television, and it's I'm into it.
Yeah.
I love her. I mean, I obviously relate so much to her. You know, when I wasn't working as an actor, I thought actors sounded like such assholes when they talked about their character in third person.
Yeah.
But what am I gonna say? Me? It's not me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I probably just was mad I wasn't working, so I was like, oh yeah, say her. Now I'm like, wait, that's actually how you have to say it. Anyway, so I noticed that she's like, we're similar in that we both are, you know, big time attention whores, and we want to be the life of the party. We want everyone to sort of like look at us and be our friend, but mm-hmm. she's really bad at it. Like, she's going for all those people like liking her and thinking she's cool and funny, but she's like,
yeah, she faked a period to,
yeah, she's
to
like
get attention.
A miscarriage.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So she squirted ketchup out of her vagina. So yeah, she's
that was great.
Thank you. She's definitely like, she's so. But I relate to her because just like I was talking about that story that I heard, like she's so insecure. I think as I get older too, when I see someone say something that in the past I would have been like, what a fucking dick. Now mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh. Like, I was at the store last night, and like somebody looked in the mirror And they like looked at their hair. A guy looked at his hair and he goes, "Oh fuck, really fucked up by driving over here with the top down." And I used to, like, back in the day, I would have just rolled my eyes and been like, "Well, fuck you." Mm-hmm. Like, you just wanted everybody to know you drove here in a convertible.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, but also, is it 1987? Whatever. There was, like, very loaded.
Tom Selleck is only kind of cool now.
That's fine. That's fine. The stash still rocks.
Actually, I'll take that back. He's always cool. Come on. Find a cooler Tom.
My brain went to Papa. But I love Tom.
My
but I
brain went to Papa. It should be
my another name for my special.
Yes. Or at least
or
a
pilot
that Tom stars in.
Yeah. That's right.
It's like the new According to Jim.
That's right. My name went to Pop. My brain went to Papa.
Is he a therapist? What is he?
He's my therapist. The person I was talking about earlier is my therapist, Tom Papa.
So how do you respond to the guy with the convertible?
No, but my point was just that now I go like, you know, we all just go, I think 100 times a day I just go, oh man, we all just want to be loved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm in this place of just like, oh man, he just wants like guys to think he's cool and ladies to want to fuck him, and isn't that what we all want in some version of? And like, yeah,
and
all
this
right,
is
man.
Just his route of getting it. We tell jokes. Right. This guy talks about convertible hair.
Yeah,
it's the worst, right?
What a nightmare.
The worst, right?
I just was very cute, and instead of like back in the day, I would have been like, what a fuck. Idiot.
Yeah.
He tries.
Now, trying to do stand up and acting and all that.
I'm so tired.
When does the thought of being on American Idol even enter your brain?
Okay. So I was I think subconsciously the amount of rejection I dealt with in my acting career from ages 9 to 26 what got to me. Because by the way, that if you know anything about ages, a lot of those years I was a child. A lot of those years were my actual childhood. So by the time I was in my 20s and I, like, my friends were like going to college to get a degree in theater, I was this beaten woman who'd tried so hard.
Oh, you're going to theater school?
Yes, that's right. Just
best of luck.
I had my old lady glasses on the tip of my nose, and I was like, oh, I remember when Beatrice. It just was really like, oh God, I was like getting embittered. I wasn't like happy for. I had a few years of my life where I was embittered and not happy for people, which was really unattractive. I didn't know I was in it until
someone called me out. Man, everybody goes through that, though.
Of course. Yeah.
That's human nature.
Because you just want it so fucking bad.
I'm jealous that you brought that point up and I didn't. So, like, I'm dealing with my own shit over
here.
Right,
right,
side of the mic. But, but it is.
Proud of you for admitting.
Thank you. It's the first step.
It's also. So, are you just trying to figure that out? And
so,
then,
with American Idol, I had been acting for such a long time, and I always loved making music, and I'd made like an EP at one point, and I have these little EPs that exist. One was in like 2005, one was in 2008, and then one was in 2010. And I was always sort of trying to do music on the side, and then that was really confusing for people. Like, I had an agent at the time who was like, you know, do you want to do music or acting? And I was like, why? That's
what do you got to pick?
But
they all want you to do that.
They
right?
always want. And I met a manager too, who was like actually a dream manager at the time. And I met with her, and she even said that she was like, look, I would love to represent you, but I want to represent someone's entire career, and I feel like I wouldn't understand 50% of your career. So not that I think you should choose, but like I'm not your person because I wouldn't be able to do it all, and I would want to. And I was like, okay, that's fair. But again, it was like roadblock after roadblock of like just trying to do two things that I love to do and am passionate about.
Yeah.
And I felt I was constantly having to decide. And then Idol sort of made the decision for me, because the odds that I would have gotten on that show are pretty much zero. I mean, 118,000 people tried out.
Yeah, it's like you're either ridiculously awesome or horrible.
No, in the whole country.
Yeah. 118,000?
Mm-hmm. And then
that's a lot.
I tried out in New York. It was the biggest season ever. I tried out in New York, and there were, I want to say, like 20,000 people there.
Jeez.
And they televised 3 auditions, and one of them was mine. It just was a lot of luck. Like, I'm very proud of my singing voice. I love to sing. Mm-hmm. They could have overlooked me as easily as the guy that sang next to me in the open auditions was one of the best singers. To this day, I could hear his voice in my head. He was one of the most best singers I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, I've had the time of my life.
I haven't seen you since then.
Well, things haven't been going according to plan.
Yeah, I can see that. So the Wolverine gig, huh?
Yeah, no, that was cool. It was cool. It was
sad cop.
I beat out Laura Dern for it.
Sure.
Sad cop number 3. That should have been.
So I went, So I was at this Idol audition.
Are you waiting forever, by the way, before you even get to go into the room?
Dude, the Idol audition is the most,
because they make it look grueling on camera. You're like, fuck, dude, are they waiting for
you? They don't show you anything on camera.
Oh boy, tell us.
So day one, you have to go in and get a wristband because there's just too many people to even wrangle.
Right.
So then the next day, you sit in order of your wristband.
Oh, geez.
So I was, you know, 12,850 on my wristband.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
And then you have to do this dumb shit where they were like, did everybody learn Pat Benatar? What's this, you know, Heartbreaker?
What?
And then the whole arena has to be like, Heartbreaker! And you're like, literally.
Are they just doing that so you, like, do they, are there
they
like
are
a crowd work?
It, they're oh, filming oh, okay. it to show on TV how many people, the number of people
right.
here.
But you're all singing together and they right. want a shot of everyone.
18,000 people singing hard.
Not explained at all, just in a montage to right. where people are like, but man, these people are so excited to audition. They're all singing together.
Correct.
Oh, God.
Like as though,
this process
as though
is fun.
They say, hey, when you show up, make sure you know Heartbreaker, right? And they always, everything, they word everything to you like you should be afraid. Like when they give you a wristband, like, hope you know Heartbreaker. Camera might come to you, hope you know Heartbreaker. You're like, oh.
Jesus.
Okay.
Right. Idol.
And 18,000 of us are sitting in this thing, and then you file in, and it's a huge arena. So you imagine the Staples Center, but separated by like PVC piping and sheets.
Oh,
and then there's like six over here, and then six across the way. And obviously, all separating me and the guy next to me. So there's four people in my row singing in our sheet section.
So you can still hear them.
It's a sheet.
Yeah.
So the guy to my left is singing like in a different sheet section.
Right.
But it's, I how can I, and then I'm like, should I wait? And they're like, no. I'm like, oh, okay. So then I just sing. I get through to like, I get a green slip. Then mm-hmm. I go back through. And you know, I think that day probably, let's call it 1,000 people got
sure.
a green slip. Then you come back the next day and they whittle that 1,000 down to, let's say, 500. Then you meet the executive producers, you sing in front of them. By the time I got in front of the judges,
mm-hmm.
there was 150 people. We were about to perform in front of the judges, and then all of us had to sing again really quick in front of the executive producers because the judges didn't want to see 150 people. They wanted to see 75. So by the time I got to the judges,
dang.
I had auditioned five times.
Yeah.
And then I went in front of the judges. I sang, and there was like a huge sun shield. They were in this, we were like at the pier in Chelsea, and there was a huge sun shield across these huge open windows so it wouldn't be blinding for cameras. And right when I start singing, the whole thing comes crumbling to the ground. Like an act
planned?
Of God. Absolutely mm-hmm. not. Crumbling. Like everyone was in danger. Like Paula Abdul, like, say, all jumped up and ran away because this sun shield almost crushed them. Okay?
Oh,
so that is why they televised my audition, not because I'm a better singer than Joe, who was next to me. Am I a good singer? Sure. Like I said, I'm proud
Whoa,
of myself. I've
yeah.
worked hard. But that
and
wasn't...
that's a great example of the element of luck yep. and uncertainty and like, man, sometimes there's no explaining why something got picked, but then also... But yeah, you also...
But also
like
what
you
a
had...
dick you are if you don't realize that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people walk around. I feel like I think LA is a very a special place for that. When you realize like... Come on, man. You got the job definitely because you're talented.
Yep.
But also, well, you got to tell that other part of some shit that happened.
Right.
Like, I got on Idol. Like, I wouldn't have gotten it to the top 24 if I couldn't sing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The reason I got there was because of a series of fortunate events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit just kept happening.
Yeah.
What
the camera would walk by and I'd like sit, make a joke and they were like, oh, this girl's fun. Like she'll make good TV.
Oh yeah, you were just sitting there.
Totally. And just like
that's how it is in The Price is Right. When I not auditioned but went with a group from college and you interview the producer interviews you real quick with a 1 minute question and they're getting a sense of your personality.
100%
to see if you're worthy of being
you're
called
fun.
To come
and
on down.
Get on TV, of course.
So when you're in front of the judges, who are you most intimidated by? Because that
and
those judges are epic, and everyone thought about what they would
Randy,
sing.
Simon, Paula, and then Cara DiAguardi was randomly there.
Well, yeah, I don't even. Yeah, yeah. That's it's like Alvin, Simon, Theodore, and then like
James.
Their friend James. Yeah, who's like I'm also a chipmunk, and you're like
James.
Yeah,
your glasses
but,
are very thick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Just everybody fucks
what,
with James.
And everyone's like James. What were you on again? And he's like, we're having a good time. You know, he doesn't really answer.
He sits in like cargo shorts. You can see his balls a little. James is always like, come on, James. You know what I mean? He's like,
what?
They keep him around. He's like your mom's cousin's kid
because he's so likable. Mm-hmm.
So, but he's not but quite
he's
your
piece
cousin.
Of shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, but like, and this is season six.
Of Idol? No,
yeah,
no,
eight?
No. Close. I think eight. Season nine.
Okay, so like,
I always
so,
confuse eight and nine because it was either 2008 or nine.
Okay.
So
who won your year?
Chris Allen, but everybody thinks Adam Lambert did.
Okay. Dang. He was in that year. But...
And Chris is incredible. Yeah. But Adam came in second.
Okay. So then, like, so these are already legendary judges, and they have their reputation. Yeah. So, like, when you walk in, you're like, all right, I hope Randy doesn't say that I'm pitchy dog. I hope, right. like, Paula doesn't say something crazy, and I hope Simon doesn't just look at me with dead eyes and go, you're despicable. Correct. Like, this is...
Those are all the concerns.
Yeah.
It was really great. Like, it was one of those experiences, and I think I've said this before, but it was like wrapped in a bow. Until the minute it took a complete 180 and out of nowhere, in a shock turn, I got eliminated. Mm-hmm. It was like, I was like, they showed three auditions in New York out of 18,000. One was mine. Every single day of Hollywood Week, you know, sometimes people get a little screen time, like one person here, one person there. There were three rounds. You do like the first round where you get to just sing by yourself. They showed mine on that. Then you do a group round. They featured my group heavily, and I was the lead singer of my group. Then on the third round, the last thing you do for Hollywood Week is you can play with your instrument and really like have the whole band and the lights.
Whoa, and you did that.
And they showed my whole thing of that.
What song did you sing?
Oh, I Hope You Dance. I hope you dance. I hope you dance. And I play guitar. And I'm not a country person, so but I just did this fun thing.
Is that Faith Hill?
No, it's Leanne Womack.
Leanne Womack.
But I randomly just chose that because I was like, that'll be fun, and I'll do like a little rockier version of it. Like I'll do a Sheryl Crow-ish version.
They love that, huh?
They did.
Crushed.
But they just kept showing it. I was like, wow, this is incredible. And then I made the top, and then I got instantly eliminated.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Is that like what? And that feeling? Are you stunned? Is it denial? Is it just like it's over?
All of those things.
Yeah.
Did Simon say, hey? I hope you still continue to dance.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, the opposite. They just, it was almost like they just kept, he was like making fun of me. He made fun of my outfit.
What?
He's like, what are you wearing?
Oh, God.
Why are you wearing, like that was his first note. He's like, before I even comment on your performance, what are you wearing? And just, it was like.
But they also need those shots, don't they? Because they are producing a show. Like, I feel like at some point they're like, Simon, you weren't enough of a dick today, man. Like, totally. You got to lay out on
and
someone.
Maybe I suffered from that. Or maybe, also, I sang an upbeat song. And if I had to do it again, you got to sing a slow song so you could show the fucking juice in your voice and you can riff and you can.
Get those belty vibratos, right?
Totally. I sang like Little Less Conversation or something like Elvis. But interestingly, I gave them probably 12 other options and they didn't clear anything. I gave them Pink, Aerosmith. I gave them all that shit that's right in my wheelhouse.
Right. Yeah.
And they didn't clear anything.
Sort of like the smoky voice. And yeah.
And then they tell you like, oh no, Little Less Conversation would be great. Last time it was on the show, the person did awesome. Mm-hmm. And...
Because song choice is huge.
And you'll start the show. By the way, worst thing you could ever do is be up first. Ever.
What was that?
Because people, they have nothing to compare it to. If I did my song fourth, I would have been better than the other three.
Oh.
But I was first, and they were like, what was
right,
that?
That's all right.
And the next three people went, and they were okay, but it wasn't like that was...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So going first is the kiss of death.
Okay.
Doing an upbeat song is the kiss of death. But of course, you don't know any of these things.
Right.
And again, I came in at a 10 instead of coming in at 5. Adam Lambert came in at a 5. He wore normal clothes. He was chill. He didn't say much. He just sang his fucking balls off. And then he turned into... Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
And with the metal shoulders.
That was halfway platform, through the show, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Platform boots. So he got people.
He grew into something.
He allowed people to get used to him. I showed up and was like, my mom told me I was a star already. And everyone was like, wow, it's a lot. And I was like, you're not wrong. So. Yeah.
Did you, because I always think about what I think everyone during that show thinks about. You have like 5 more minutes?
I have so many more minutes. Okay, I just was seeing what was going on.
Okay, great. Probably 5 or 10. Cool.
Yeah.
Maybe 10. Yeah. Okay.
Do you keep that stuff in when you ask questions like that, or do you edit it out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
Okay, great question. Because I've thought about that sometimes.
Yeah,
because
you're just
but
like,
I'm like
so casual. Like at the beginning, you're like, okay, we're starting, and I was like, are you going to keep that in?
Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah.
I like that for us. I also might go to Greenbots. Anybody want to go?
If I didn't have to drive to Hermosa, yes.
What's in Hermosa?
The Comedy
Magic. Proud of you.
I never do it, and I always try to. And I know the guy who books it well, and I just, it's so far, and I
it's
go
so
up
far.
Here so much. But I love that club.
Factory.
I just, About the what?
Long Beach Laugh Factory.
Going there after. So tonight's just a night of far.
Right. A night of far.
A night of things are not close.
That's your album.
The night is a night of far?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It sounds like the opening number for an upbeat musical. Tonight is the night.
The night of far. Yeah, the
fun. Are we going to be close? No, we're not going to be close. We're going far, Tommy.
But where are we going? You're not actually specific.
Far.
I need to tell my mom.
Listen,
we're wasting your time.
You being there,
north or south?
What should I put in my GPS? Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
No, dude, do you have a compass?
It's all dreams. Damn, we're going on dreams. We'll eat dreams. We'll sleep dreams.
Tommy, I have a Garmin.
You can't do cocaine while you drive.
Kenzo, now we're both Tommy.
Yeah. Dude, Tommy's. Wait, I want to know though. What would you sing, Brad? And I want to say what I would sing. And I want to say what. And I want to hear your
idol.
What you would? What?
Did my redo? I already know my redo.
Your redo. Yeah. Well, what you would do now?
Yeah, my redo.
All right, Brad first.
Oh, jeez. Eagle Eye Cherry, Save Tonight.
Yeah, I love how you said OGs to buy yourself some time to be like, let me not make this obvious. Like I think about it always, and I was thinking about it on my way over here. Yeah, great song choice, by the way.
Yeah, sweet song, kind of in my range. I could.
You'd catch Randy off guard too. I bet he's a closeted Eagle Eye Cherry.
Either that or a lap dance is always better when the stripper is crying. One or the other.
One or the other.
Wait, what?
That's an actual song.
By Eagle Eye Cherries?
No, that is the Bloodhound Gang. Nice. They sing a song called.
Oh, they also have a song called Vagina. Those guys are.
Yeah, they're weird.
All sorts of fun.
That's my go-to karaoke hit. A lap dance is always better when the stripper is crying.
Oh, what?
That's a real song.
It's happening.
Yeah,
that's a real song.
Yeah,
people love it when you sing it, huh?
Fuck yeah, because it's got jokes for days.
My karaoke song is Heartbreaker, but that's not what I would sing.
Killer. Yeah, because I think a lot of people made that mistake, being like, what do I crush karaoke with?
No,
oh, time
not,
to show the world.
Not the same thing, yep.
No.
What's yours, if that were the case, my karaoke go-to, What's Up by the Four Non Blondes, or I Love Me Some...
You can do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or Better Man by Pearl Jam.
Notice he just said yeah and then didn't do it.
I know.
You're not going to do it now.
No, I know. I just felt like it would be dope if you just wanted to like, give us a little inspiration. You don't have to.
Will you play it on guitar?
Pull up the chords. I can't.
Great. Brad, pull up the chords.
Chords of Four Non Blondes?
Yeah.
Okay. I can do this.
Let's see. So for Idol, I would sing the Family Matters theme song.
Shut up. That actually would be dope.
Yeah. I actually made a video where I superimposed myself. I watched a bunch of old DVDs of Paula, Randy... Simon, and I videotaped on green screen myself auditioning for it with that song.
I hate you.
And spliced it in. And a lot of people thought it was real. But not only was that a joke, but...
green screens?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I really would sing that song. I'd also sing something, maybe Casey and JoJo, maybe some Phil Collins Susu Studio, because I don't think anyone's done that in the history of the show.
I love it.
I've just never heard any Phil Collins. Also, then I'd maybe go old school.
I was going to say, like, also maybe there's a reason for that. I love Phil Collins.
Yeah.
All right.
It isn't. Maybe get some Raffy down by the bay.
I have chords. I don't play guitar, so I don't know if that's good enough for you. Yeah.
There it is.
That's it.
I need to X this little thing out.
Oh, shit.
Oops.
Right. There it is.
There's a chord right there.
Ah, there you go. All right. We can do this.
Do you want it? Is that the right key for you?
Yeah. Oh, let me check. Yes.
Also, just for the future, for any like of the aspiring singers out there, the way to check if it's the right key for you is to go
yeah, that is the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a comedy podcast, but also, you know, I mean, you walk away being like, well, now I know how to warm
that's
up.
That's how Darius Rucker does it from Hootie. So,
guys,
yeah,
you know.
You mean from country stardom solo?
No.
We go from Hootie here. This is a Hootie.
My Darius
house.
Comes in the form of Hootie.
My Darius comes in the form of a rocker. Five.
I think that's good. Years in my life is still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. Ooh, I realized quickly when I knew I should that this world was made up of this brotherhood of man. For whatever that means.
Here it goes.
And so I cry sometimes when I'm lying in bed, just to get it all out, what's in my head. And I'm feeling a little peculiar.
Yes.
Take a deep breath and I get real high, and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on? Oh, and I say, hey, yeah, 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 hey, yeah, yeah. I say, hey, what's going on?
One more chorus?
Ooh. Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh. Ooh. Right?
Try.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, my falsetto is it has to have not had any sort of booze or pot on it for a good like 2-3 weeks, and then I feel real confident in trying to go for any sort of note, regardless of if I'm gonna hit it, you know?
Because
you gotta feel like your pipes are just ready to go.
I myself don't have much of a false. Like,
yeah, you
I can't do. Really do that
no,
stuff.
That's.
I could sing like, "Wake up in the morning and I'll show up," but I can't.
Which
go,
is the best part of that song, though?
You got you have like a rock voice, though.
Yeah. Like I.
It's smoky. It's
until,
rough.
Thanks. Until recently, I didn't even. Like, I just was like, I don't have a falsetto. And I was like, oh, I do. I just never used it.
Yeah, I feel like musicals are definitely in your future.
More and more exposure. I want to be in a Broadway musical. I'd like to put out into the universe. And
it's out there, baby.
Well, you can sing. We all know that. And we also know you can rap because you did drop the mic on TBS.
Yes, I'm lucky.
Was that dope?
Dude.
How many cast members was
pro.
It?
Oh, this is a no-brainer. Got some actual talent versus some personal trainers. You're not real wrestlers. You just play them on TV, which is sad because we could totally pin you four with ease. It was so cute.
Whoa.
It just was really... Stop. No, that
yeah,
was fun.
Yeah, you still remember too. Yours?
And we just did it.
Oh, and it just aired?
It just happened.
I did mine like 8 months ago. It still hasn't aired.
Well, they timed
amazing. Wait, they're waiting.
No, they're waiting. Okay.
No, they timed ours
They'll
with the release of Glow.
Okay.
By the way, watch Glow Season 2, June 29th.
Of course.
Which is Friday.
Yeah, available on Netflix.
Okay.
And so you got to rap too.
I love music so much. I love rapping and I love singing. And when I get to do them in front of people, I feel happy because I do them by myself so much. And it's nice to feel like seen when you do certain things sometimes.
Do you get to display those talents in season two in some fashion?
I do.
Whoa.
I don't think it's a spoiler.
Alert.
Yeah, I sing a little bit. There's like, without saying too much, there's like something music. It's not a musical episode by any means, but
right.
Something musical happens in one of the episodes.
You're still wrestling, so it makes sense that you would have to maybe do that for a character thing or
right.
Discover something
totally.
Or like, oh, you're the singing villain or whatever.
Right.
So yeah, that makes sense that something like that would go down.
And it's, you know, they're really, the writers of our show, Liz Flahive and Carly Mensch, they're like, they see what we can do. Like, there's a girl on our show, Sunitha Mani, and she's in like a ridiculous trio, lady comedy dance trio called the Cocoon Central Dance Team.
What?
And they're just the baddiest, hottest, weirdest three girls in New York. Literally, they're in like a weird, like they just do weird shit and it's so funny and so weird and they're in like these, it's insane. Anyway, they know Suni can dance.
Yeah.
So they wrote it into the show that Arthi, her character, dances.
That's great.
Why not utilize that you have like this
use all the
mean
weapons.
Right. You, and it also, it makes the show look better because it makes her look better. And mm-hmm. That's how I feel, you know, I think they do that, like, I think they understand, like, my timing, like, when I steal Ruth's shoes, it's like,
well,
you know, like,
Steve Martin said, you'll use everything, and
that you've obtained through life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
So interesting.
I mean,
especially
like.
Especially now with, like, writing a lot, I'm, like, writing a lot more, too, now.
Yeah.
And it's like. Every story I forgot is flowing back to me, and I'm like, that'd be great, that'd be great for this, and it's just like, you do really. You realize how much more vast your toolbox is, too, mm-hmm. I think, when you're in a creative field, because you're just, you have to.
If you could start a band, if you can start a band called Vast Toolbox, that'd be great.
I can't wait to listen to this podcast, because I have to actually write down all the things that we said that would be like dope.
Yeah.
That would don't be dope, dope titles.
There've been a lot.
Yeah.
Well, my brain goes to Papa. My brain comes with Papa. What
no,
is
my
it?
Brain goes to Papa.
Yeah. My brain goes to Papa.
Because you said, "What's another Tom?"
Yeah, and then the "What's in your Jew?" Or no, what Jew is in you?
What Jew is in you?
What's in your Jew?
Gilbert.
What's in your Jew?
I've been here the whole time.
You guys, I'm doing, before I wanted to finish the Idol story and like the circle of that, mm-hmm. is I'm finally doing music again, but I'm, the project is called Power Fox. So when you said if you could name a band, I thought you were like, what were you going to call it? And I was going to be like, well, that's actually happening right now.
And you called it Power Fox?
I did call it Power
Fox. Wait, what is it?
I'll play it for you guys. Or maybe I can actually, you know what I could do?
Send it to me and I can include it.
Send it to you and include.
Yeah. What is it?
It's, the music is called Power Fox. It's not released yet. I'm releasing it in middle of July.
Not comedy tunes.
No.
Just real like, music, like
pop stuff, rock stuff.
I would say it's like Paul Simon meets Brandy Carlisle.
Dope.
Okay.
Meets... I don't
Aretha
know.
Franklin?
It's like, did you say who?
Aretha Franklin?
I thought you said Luther Frampton. And I was like, that's not
Luther
anybody.
Frampton.
Oh, I like some deep cut shit.
Yeah, that's nobody.
He was big in 1991.
That's right.
Which was a year that everyone else took
weeks.
Off and was like, you know what? We're coming back in 94. Mm-hmm.
Luther's like, it's 91. My time.
Yeah. Luther Trampon. What's his name?
What is you it? Named him.
Frampton.
And then how
Trampon's
did you,
cool too, though.
How did you think of the name Fire or Power Fox? Sounds like a superhero.
One of my best friends and I were in a guitar ukulele duo.
That's unbelievable.
Not guitar, guitar.
Oh, she's a bad bitch. Her name's Jess Hudak, and she is singer songwriter, incredible. And so she can play piano and guitar. She do everything. Mm-hmm. But our duo was, she's on guitar, I'm on ukulele, I'm Power Fox, she's Pony Mane, and we used to do covers. We used to follow whatever American Idol was doing, and mm-hmm. then do something like what they were doing and like do a cover, or we would do mashups and stuff like that. But then she moved to New York and had a baby, and I've been doing this kind of stuff for the last couple of years, but she just moved back to LA. We're gonna get back into it.
And
but
Power Fox lives.
So what happened is two separate projects is Power Fox and Pony Mane. Check us out on YouTube. I mean, our videos.
Yes.
No, our videos are so old. You don't have to, but they're very sweet.
And what's the song that we're gonna,
but
gonna play?
But then
here?
My solo project is Power Fox.
Power Fox, great. Okay.
And so the song that you guys are gonna play is called "Throw It in the Fire."
Throw it in the fire.
Do you want to? I mean, in your best cheesy radio DJ voice, do you want to introduce your song "Throw It in the Fire"?
Yep.
Go for it.
I'm just trying to incorporate the name of the show.
Okay.
I'm Jackie Joe. You're listening to About Last Night, ladies and gentlemen. Put your hands together for Power Fox singing "Throw It in the Fire." I hated that.
That's great.
That was very Sherry O'Terry.
You should try.
Yeah, Brad, you are the former radio DJ.
I am a former radio DJ. So there we go.
Well, then maybe you should go last, and Adam should go second.
Okay, Adam, go for it, buddy. Throw it in the fire.
Throw it in the fire.
By Power Fox.
By Power Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. We're having a time. Everyone's waking up. It's 64 degrees outside. We got Power Fox. Throw it in the fire.
I love that. I love that it was unintelligible.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I feel like when it's so early and I've done press and I literally am sitting there and the guy's like, I'm just, we got Adam right here. And I'm just like, so not awake that I'm just like, dude, I caught three of those words, you gotta slow it
also
down.
Like you were just like, sir, I'm pretty sure there were no words and only inflections.
yeah he's like, you're just hearing things. He's like, I've been doing this a long time.
What's up, everybody? This is Brad Williams on the ones and the twos. We got weather, news, traffic coming up at five after the hour. Right now, what did the fox say? We're about to find out, because this is Power Fox throwing in the fire right here on 106.7, the world famous K-Rock.
What does the fox say? I mean, he had a joke to set it up. That's a pro, you know what I'm saying?
But guys, never forget how bad mine was. I feel like I was doing like a fucking, I was doing, what's that Will Ferrell character goes, Harry Carey.
Oh, yeah.
That's what mine ended up
You were very
like.
Sherry O'Terry doing
it. I panicked.
It.
Yeah. I was very 90s SNL on my act out. I don't know why.
Hey, but it worked. And now people are going to hear the song. They're going to watch Glow.
Search Power Fox on Spotify.
Yeah, they're,
Brad, that
they're
was
dance.
That was so pro radio because you you had the audacity and awareness to go, I'm gonna, like, I can set this up with a joke and get, and pop a little bit of funny in there.
Yeah.
There's probably so many songs where they're like, Cher's coming up with you. Do you believe in love? Do you believe in Cher? I know I do. Here we go. Stick around. Weather's coming up in five. You know, like some sort of line. Because I was always already way more excited to hear the song, like, the way you did that.
Yeah.
100%. But also, I love that, like, the joke doesn't quite track, but it doesn't matter. But you get engaged because your brain starts activating, like, wait, I have to put the pieces
what
together.
What does the fox say? What is this?
But you also
Elvis
speed up
gonna
the.
Come on.
Yeah. You also speed up the joke or the line so quickly that people don't really have time to
laugh,
to
don't laugh
for themselves.
I don't care.
They,
I'm
it was
going.
A joke, so they don't.
It's also like with the with the very clear cadence of a joke.
Yeah.
So my brain was
they trick
like,
you with the cadence.
Yeah, like I didn't get it, but I'm sure.
Other people laughed. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. So I should laugh along. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Go West, King of Wishful Thinking coming up. I got some wishful thinking. Yeah, divorce from my wife, Gagu Brenda. Shout out. Anyway, we're coming back with sports in five.
I haven't heard from my kids in a couple months.
Yeah.
Listen to Power Fox. Watch Glow season 2, now available on Netflix. And you're gonna see Marc Maron in it. You're gonna see Alison Brie. You're gonna see women wrestling, but mostly you're gonna see a funny, entertaining show with amazing characters. And you've been so sweet on the podcast, but now we get to watch you play a villain.
Yay! Again, spoiler, she's less of an asshole season 2. She's still an asshole, but it's for the greater good of the group. Where in season 1, she was an asshole for her own betterment and her getting herself further.
Yeah.
Now she's sort of like, how do I use my evil to get it, to get all of us?
So it's very Kim Jong-un-y.
Another show I would love
favorite,
to watch.
Some of my favorite sushi is Kim Jong-un-y.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Jackie.
Thanks for having me,
this
guys.
So
what
fun.
A delight.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay here after this is done.
Kim, that's a very Kim Jong-un thing to say.
Yeah, thank you so much. So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know. But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy. This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.